podcast, I'm coaching you with our longtime partner friend and one of my dearest, dearest coaching friends and people in my life, in Kevin Eastman. Kevin, welcome. Thank you, my brother.
Thanks, Brendan. Looking forward to this.
Yeah, well, we've been catching up the last few weeks from your incredible schedule since August when you hit the ground running, going out on your new venture. First of all, for all of our followers that, you know, follow you on Twitter and, you have a huge following with coaching you, and your professional coaching career over the years, why don't you first explain to those who have been, out of the country or out of the world, explain to them what you're kind of doing now.
Well, what I decided to do was step away from coaching. So, I retired from the NBA. My last duty, if you will, was the Orlando Summer League. At the time, Doc Rivers and Lawrence Frank and Dave Wool, they were all flying around the country with free agency and talking to all the free agents out there, and ended up signing some good ones that really helped improve the bench of the Clippers, which was a big area of improvement for Doc in this offseason. So I ended up going to the Summer League just to kind of observe and give them my observations of what I saw. So my last duty probably ended, whenever that ended, maybe July 7, somewhere around there, 8.
Mm-hmm.
So at that point, I came home and spent those last 3 weeks of July kind of planning to move forward with this new venture. I didn't want to do it last year during the season. I just didn't feel comfortable of working on something else while I was working for the Clippers. So I delayed all of that. And I think we made the announcement when we actually made the announcement, if that makes sense, when Los Angeles made the official announcement. The night before, I had written an email to all of my coaching friends, associates, people I've kind of met through all the years. Mm-hmm. So that was the first kind of semi-public inkling into what I was doing next. So fast forward to today, I'm kind of living in three tracks right now, professionally, that is. Number one is talking to college teams, coaching staffs, or athletic departments, however the college wants to craft that day that I'm in there. So that's track one. Track two is corporate speaking. Depending on what they're looking for is whether or not I will accept that offer to speak, because I don't, there'll be some that I will turn down because I don't think that my message may be best for what they're looking for in that particular seminar, conference, et cetera.
Really?
So I want to make sure the match is there. So it's the corporate world that I'm speaking in. And then I don't really want to name a team or teams, but I'm consulting in the NBA. Just kind of, trying to maybe help a team through my eyes and my experiences, what I see type of thing. So those are the three tracks, and it takes us to today. I thought it was going to be kind of a good pace in the first 2 months, but it really was a sprint because I was very fortunate that more came across my desk than maybe even I thought it would, and maybe even in areas that I didn't think it would. So I think we ended up doing speaking to from August 20 to November 4, about a 70 or 80 day period. I can't really tell exactly, but I think I was out 27 times, 27 different engagements. So about every 2.5 days, I was doing something. And I think we spoke to 16 teams and 11 corporate speaking engagements. So we started off fast. And now I'm going to take November, December, and January to slow down a little bit. I'll still take some inquiries if they fit, but I really want to slow down and maybe take a stab at, and I don't know if I'll be able to do this or not, but take a stab at writing a book.
Well, I you know, as always, you always have a great vision and always well thought out of what you want to do from our years together. What has been when you've gone, first let's go to corporate world. When you've gone to the corporate world and spoken to some really neat companies you've shared with me, what has been what you would call, I don't want to say it's not a surprise because you knew it, what have they been able to get from you that to really help their business, whatever business they're in, that you can share from your years of experience coaching professional ranks?
Well, some of the things that resonate the most, obviously, are the stories. I can take them behind the scenes, mm-hmm. into the locker room. I can take them places where not many people get to go.
Sure.
And I say that only from this main point, that I can provide them real-life examples of whatever teaching point that I'm sharing with them. So that's probably the most important thing that I do. And then, you know, with as fast as the world is moving today and how much change is involved in the corporate sector, we too have to change quickly and rapidly year to year, sometimes game to game, sometimes within a game from quarter to quarter. So I've kind of lived in the world of a fast pace and quick decisions and all that goes into being prepared when that decision comes up at that point in that game. So, but what I've learned the most is that people who want to be good at what they do, they want to know what other people who have had success have done to reach their levels of success. You know, just as many coaches are sponges, so too are many people in the corporate world, especially those in leadership positions, because they're out there and they want to do a good job and they're much more visible than maybe those they lead. So, in fact, they're the visible ingredients of a company's success. So they want to keep evolving, improving, getting better, learning new things, maybe putting a different twist on things. So in the corporate world, those things come quickly to mind when you ask that question.
You know, Kevin, when I know a lot of people have always asked you, especially when you and Doc were in Boston, you know, they want to know about that great culture that you guys created there with Danny Ainge and the tremendous players that you had there. Culture is a huge word in business teams and business teams. Is that something that people are really looking for when they ask you to come in the corporate world?
Yeah, I would say above and beyond that is how do you get the best out of your employees? Mm-hmm. How do you deal with or how do you work with talented, you know, employees with talent that may also have an ego and maybe are not fully into the team? You know, I weave culture in simply because how you approach any problem, issue, or challenge, you do it through the lens of your standards and your culture. So
gotcha.
The culture is really important. So I have to talk about that some. But I think the even more important than culture, what I talk about anyway, is people, because people will drive or destroy the culture. And it's one of those D's usually. And you have to bring in the right people to match the culture you have, because ultimately it's people who control the culture. Culture, and that's a more powerful force than the culture controlling the people, because you can have a great, great culture and a company filled with horrible people, and they'll take that culture down. You can have a horrible culture and a company filled with great people, And I believe, because we saw it a little bit in the pros, that with those great people, you can still get some things done. And yes, they may not like the company, but they like you and they might do business with you. So I think people are so important to this whole thing. Obviously, if you have a great culture and great people, man, that's where the magic happens. If you have a horrible culture with horrible people, you got no shot. So the people become the constant in all of this.
You know, when, you know, the success that we have and then working with people like you have, like with Doc and Kibbs and Lawrence Frank and great coaches like that and many of the others that you've worked with, you know, the reason that, and, you know, the people that you admire like Belichick and stuff, what really happens is what I think really progress happens is through practice. And I think that, to me, from an outsider, is the biggest problem that they have in business is that in sports, we improve through great practice, by great teaching, et cetera, and great coaching. And in business, we have good leaders, but they don't work on this development as much as we do in the pros on a constant basis. Thoughts?
Well, it's like anything. There are some leaders in the corporate world who do exactly that. They do work on getting better, and there's some that do not. And I think the ones that do not, eventually they will be caught and exposed because they're leading on a shaky foundation, in my mind. So, you know, I just think it's about, you know, constantly being aware of, I call it the GDI, growth, development, improvement. Am I taking care of the GDI every single day, both for myself to get better and then for, if I'm in a leadership position, for those I am leading to get better? Because logic states that if we all get better and we work within a team context, then the company gets better, the team gets better, the organization gets better. So again, it gets back to the people, and the best motivated teams out there in sports are the teams that have self-motivated players, because they're the ones that can, they don't need the outside stimulus to get them moving. They have an inside fire that gets them moving every day. So it really gets to, you know, you always used to use the term talent acquisition.
Mm-hmm.
So who are you bringing in? Who are you acquiring? But, you know, I as you've heard me say this a lot, every one of us wants a great reputation. We all want a great rep. And the way to get your rep is through your reps. So your reputation is gotten through your repetitions. And that speaks to the concept you brought up, the concept of practice.
Yeah.
You know, if Kevin Garnett were in front of a sales force, my guess would be he would say, I work on my shot and my skills every single day. Why are you not working on your sales pitch every single day?
That's what I was kind of inferring. Yeah, exactly. And they think just magic happens. And we're specifically guided to that in sports coaching to develop that on a daily basis. That's phenomenal. Now, you went out and visited with these colleges. I know we had a few under our belt when we saw each other in Florida in August for our yearly get-together. But how exciting has that been to visit with programs all over the country?
Well, it's been great because I had the opportunity to get to know people even a little bit better. And actually to see how they operate. And it's amazing. This is going to sound stupid, but it really came through in all of the 16 visits. And I think it permeates through the entire levels of college. You know, I spoke mostly to the high major colleges, but also had some that people would not consider to be high major, like the Columbias of the world. But what I found is that your walls speak volumes as to what's important to you. The
all of the teams had either sayings or words on their walls in their locker room that spoke to who they were. And, you know, there's physical repetitions, there's verbal repetitions, and there's visual repetitions. All of them are important to drive home the culture each day. All of them are important to remember what is most important to us. All of them are important to maybe reset us that day when we're coming in with a bit, you know, bad attitude or things happened to us the day before, the night before. So that was observation number one. Number two, the facilities are off the charts. I mean, my goodness. but that's all about investment. In order to succeed, you must first invest. And if you're not willing to invest physically, mentally, and emotionally from within yourself, then you're not going to get to where you want to go. And if you're not willing to invest to create an environment, which the facilities do, create an environment for people to succeed, then you're not going to get to where you want to go, you know. So, and to me, that's what it's kind of all about. Are you putting yourself in a position to get to where you would like to be, where you would like to go? And then the third thing I would throw out there is the profession is filled, the coaching profession is filled with just really good people, people who really want the best for their players. They really put the team and the program before themselves. The lack of ego in the when I spoke to Kansas, Bill Self, Texas, Shaka Smart, Marquette, Wojo, and I can go on and on and on. Cal, Quanzo Martin, you know, just the egoless attitude that they bring to the program, to the office, and to the floor each and every day was really neat. I knew it, but now I saw it and heard it.
The leadership in the college ranks, I think, is fabulous. I think the coaches at every sport, men and women that I see it every day at LSU, are just off the charts. And I saw it at UCF when I was there. Fabulous coaches, people that no one heard of, are world class. And you can just multiply that by all the schools we have in the country. It's a phenomenal profession that you're touching every day through your Twitter, through your videos, through also speaking. And I think you're doing your life's work right now, Kevin, my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, I often go to the quote of Oprah Winfrey, and this is what I heard her say, take action on the things that whisper to you. Now, she probably said it in a little bit more elegant way than I, but that's how I learned it. And, you know, for the last 10 years, I put everything I had into coaching, and let's even take the last 13 in the NBA. Put everything I had to coaching, to helping Doc Rivers, who I worked for all 13 of those years, helping Doc Rivers to be the best coach that he can be. Whatever that entailed for me to do is what I did. But whispering in the back of my head, was going out and sharing. And, you know, when I talked to a lot of the people I talked to, I said, I really, don't consider myself a speaker. I consider myself a sharer. And I've been fortunate that I've had some great experiences, been around some really highly successful people in highly competitive environments. And now I want to share those things that have been great lessons for me, and help this little skinny kid from New Jersey get to places that he knew he was never going to get to. So that's kind of what it's done for me.
Yeah, well, you're impacting the world, and that was something that, you know, we wanted to do just in a very small way years ago, and now you're taking it to a whole other level, which I think is so darn exciting, you know, and I'm so excited that, you know, for, you know, next several years, you know, you're still going to be speaking, you know, when you can at our Coaching You events, and, you know, and I know, you know, every time you do that, you impact not just all the folks that are there in the live audience, but the ones that buy our videos at a ridiculously low price so that we can share among them. And I think you are, you know, you started out just trying to, you know, help some kids get better in basketball with, you know, your Nike skill development. You really impacted so many in teaching the part of basketball development as really a whole coaching profession of player development, and I think you've impacted people there, and now I think you're just doing an incredible job of in every facet of life, not just coaching, but in business leadership of doing that, and that's so rewarding. I'm so proud and thankful, and great honor to call you my friend.
No, I appreciate it. I appreciate
you
it.
So, well, you know, I can't wait for us to, you know, start some stuff in the spring and then next summer. But also, I can't wait to hear what you're doing after, you know, the new year when you're getting out in the trail again and the new clients that you have. I think, you know, we'll catch up again in the spring with another podcast and stuff, Kevin. But if any of our listeners, we have so many business leaders as well as coaches, men and women around the world, that want to get in touch with you, Kevin, what's the best way if they would like to have you come and visit with their company or team? How best they contact you?
Yeah, probably the best is our email for the company, the speaking company, is Eastman,
sure.
EASTMAN at KevinEastmanSpeaking.com. So that's probably the best way. You know, they can obviously do something across the Twitter world at Kevin Eastman. That's probably best right now. And then, you know, I get back to everybody that inquires about bringing me in to speak, whether it be corporate, college. And, you know, the other thing I might add is
sure.
The message resonates with any sport. And it was designed that way. In essence, for the college and high school level, because I've had a couple of high schools and districts of high schools contact me, the message really is, why are the best the best? What are their habits? Because all of the habits that the best have, every one of us in this world can get those same habits if we're willing to put the work in. So it's over the course of my 35 years in coaching, as I've told you before, I'm putting thought to trying to write a book on the 28 most powerful words that all successful coaches, athletes, leaders, teams, and organizations live by. Not having their vocabulary, they live by these words. And hopefully by the time, if I am able to write it, hopefully by the time it comes out, there'll be less than 28, so they'll be easily remembered. But I'm having a hard time kind of narrowing it down. But I will at some point.
Would you start with, Kevin, how many words did you first start with a year ago?
91. Yeah.
Your vocabulary is way better than mine, my friend. Way better.
Yeah. But you know what? It's not these crazy, and I don't want to give too much of it away, but it's not these crazy, you know, the words, when you're talking about success, either as an individual or a team, the words have, for the most part, stayed the same. But the definitions have changed.
Oh,
for instance, what used to be the best in junior high school, that's not the best when you play at Kansas. It may be the worst player on the team. What used to be the best at Purdue, where I spoke, it may be barely makes the team. So the word best the definition changes the higher level you go and the
wow.
different environment you get in. So, you know, it's kind of bringing old school and new school together and not having them live in exclusivity, right? Because when you combine the two, that's where the magic and the power starts. So, but the words are only as good and only as powerful for each of us if we choose our own words, if we put a definition to those words, and then whenever those words pop up in our lives, because not every word pops up every second of every day. So when they do enter your life, you have your definition that's going to drive you in a certain direction to ultimately what I said when we first started talking. All of us have a place we want to go. All of us have a person we want to become. And these words will drive us to both. Now, my challenge is going to be, can I put together a book that A is worth reading, number one, that's probably more important than anything. Number two, can I keep it simple enough? Because I think I don't want something really confusing, just so you can read it and say, man, Kevin sounds really intelligent. I don't want that. I actually want to simplify this, you know, and, you know, a guy who I have become friends with that you introduced me to, I think he's great at this, John Gordon. You can look
brilliant.
At his book, right? You can look at his book, and it's thinner than most. It's not as tall as most. But what's inside those two hard covers is probably more than most. So he has figured a way, I think, to simplify his message and get it out there in such a way where I can take that and run with it that day. I don't have to figure out all these elaborate, intricate theories and words and what does that mean? I can just take it and go with it. So that's my ultimate goal, is to make it, because, you know, I've said it before, success lies in the simplicity. Confusion
yep.
lives in the sophistication. So I want to simplify these words so that a junior high athlete or person can take it and run with it. A highly skilled NBA player, NFL player, Major League Baseball, hockey, soccer, USA soccer team is playing Mexico tonight. I'm not sure when this particular podcast is going out, so we're probably dated at this point. But, you know, anyone can take it and put it into their lives. So, but I tell you, it's going to be a challenge because I've never done it before. And we'll see.
No, I think that's part of the excitement of where you're living right now. You know, you're doing exciting projects that stimulate you, which all of us should be involved in, but your contribution to leadership, to coaching, to building teams and building people is at a ridiculously high level, and that's why you're having so much fun. And so I'm as excited every time we talk as you are when you talk to me. So it's fantastic, and I can't wait to catch up. And I know our listeners are excited for you, and can't wait to see you next time. Kevin, thanks for sharing again, always, buddy. I appreciate it so much.
Okay, thanks, Brendan.